Well, they went to divinity school. You ever hear that term? Went to divinity school. Like, what's that? Sound like some kind of church, something or another. They go and they study for the ministry, to be a pastor, to be a preacher. I noticed the Catholic Church, they said, has to now put advertisements in magazines and trying to recruit young men to become priests. Now, we don't do that. We don't get up, we don't put advertisements in magazines. We don't say, Young Men's Health Magazine, please come and become a Bible preacher. You know why? That's not the way you get in the ministry. If we had a kid that went to divinity school, you know what we thought? That's a weird kid right there. Something wrong with it. He's a nerd. He don't know how to do nothing else, so he wants to be a preacher. You know, that's what we thought. That's the weirdest kid in the class would be a preacher. And so this morning, I want to take just a minute of your time. Turn to the book of Amos. Amos. Right before the book of Andy. Amos in the Old Testament. And it's one of those little minor prophet books back there in the Old Testament. And I want to show you a verse of Scripture that I think of often when I think about the call to the ministry. Now, this is not my normal Sunday morning sermon, but I thought it might help some of y'all to understand how I got to be a preacher. The last thing in the world I ever thought I'd be was a preacher. It never crossed my mind. I wanted to be a basketball coach because I was too little to actually play professionally. So I thought, well, I get to play all the time if I coach, and then I thought I'd do that. I never did like to be a coach. I don't want to be a coach. I don't like to be a coach. I can't stand to watch somebody do something. But that's what I was gonna do. And then all of a sudden I wound up preaching since I was 19 years old. How did that happen? The night I got saved, somebody come up and hugged me and says, "Boy, I'm proud of you, Danny. You're gonna be a preacher." And I laughed. I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever. There'd never been a preacher in my family. Daddy wasn't saved. My grandpa Castle wasn't saved that I know of. Daddy said his aunt used to be a preacher up in West Virginia, and that's the only preacher we ever knew of in our family. And so I thought it was crazy. But you say, well, Brother Danny, how did you get into this? I'd like to take just a minute and show you. Amos chapter number 7, I believe. Amos chapter number 7. And I want you to look here at the prophet Amos and what God said to him and about him. Amos chapter number 7. And look at verse number 15. Amos 7 in verse 15. He said, "And the Lord took me as I followed the flock." He's not the only man God did that with. You know who gets called to preach? Men that are following the flock of God and have a heart for people and a love for His Word and helping people in the church. And God looks down and says, "I want you to be a preacher. You are chosen for the ministry." Now, the Scripture bears this out, and I'm going to give you a bunch of them. I'm going to show you men in the Bible and see what the Bible says about these men. None of these men volunteered. Listen, Exodus 6 and verse 11. The man was Moses. God said, "Go, speak in the ear unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Judges chapter 7 and verse 3. God said to Gideon, "Go." Gideon didn't say, "Man, I believe I could get me a big church and I could make a lot of money and wouldn't have to go to work." No. That was the furthest thing from his mind. He was busy doing something for God, and God said, "Okay, I want you to go." In 1 Kings 21:18, God said to Elijah, "Arise and go unto Ahab." And told him his great sermon was, "The dogs are going to lick Jezebel's blood, brother." That was Hillary in that day. Jezebel was the same as today. Amen. And in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, God told Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you." Foreknowledge of God. God don't pick and choose one above another except based on His foreknowledge. Same goes for sovereignty. Same goes for election. Same. It's always based on God's foreknowledge, knowing what a person is going to do. In Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 3, God said, "Son of man," He said, "I send thee." In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, God told Jonah, "Go and speak and cry against Nineveh. In Matthew 28:19, the Lord said to the apostles, "Go ye." In Acts chapter 9, God told Paul, "Go and stand in the temple." So you see, you are chosen for the ministry. You might sit there and say, "Brother Danny, I'd love to do what you're doing one of these days." And if you desire the work, you desire a good work. And sometimes God gives you that desire to pastor a church. But I want to tell you something this morning. You are called to the ministry. Now, don't get mad at me, but you've heard this all your life, so that's why I say, got to listen to me. You want to hear the Bible here at this church. They're technically, in the Bible, there is no such thing as being called to sing. You hear it all the time. God's called me to sing. Now, I'm not saying He ain't, and maybe He has, but I'm saying that ain't the Bible. Got it? You understand what I'm saying? You say, "Well, I just believe." You can believe what He wants to, but it ain't in the Bible. There, be right honest with you, there is no call to pastor in the Bible. Pastor in a church is an office. Right? Am I right, preacher? It's an office. You're appointed and called by a church to be a pastor. There's two offices in the local church, pastor and deacons. That's why there are those two. So if a man desire the office of a bishop, not calling, you are called to the ministry. When a man's called to preach, he's called to preach to everybody, everywhere. It's not just in church, it's at work, it's at home, it's at school. I mean, if you're working a job, it's the people you work with. If you live in a community, preach it. Just preach it. You're called to preach. And by God's grace, that's what I intend to do. I remember when I was 19. I was saved when I was 18. And I got in the Bible and I started reading it. And I started reading that thing day and night. And it started getting in me. It started getting inside me. And then I'd go to these camp meetings and I'd hear these preachers get up and I would just soak everything they said. I was soaking it up like a sponge. I was listening to tapes. I was listening to preaching. And I worked a job on the second shift down here in Morganton, actually, over here off exit 100. Used to be the old Highlander plant over there. And I was working the second shift. And while I was working, I worked on a knitting machine. And I'd go down through there 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night before I'd get off. And I'd hook those things up like this. And the whole time I was going down through there, it was real loud, so you couldn't hardly talk to nobody. And I remember going down through there, and I was preaching in my head. See crowds of people, and I was saying, "You people better straighten up." And somebody needs to tell them that. Somebody needs to say that. Boy, that'd be good. That would. And I was working the whole time, and it's just bubbling up inside. Can you turn me down just one hair, please? And boy, I tell you, that stuff would start bubbling up in. All you men that are called to preach know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like it starts getting in you, and you think, "Man, that scripture right there'd be good." Boy, old sister's blabbered mouth really needs that. And brother hater sure does need that scripture. And it started bubbling up in me. And I started thinking, "Well, maybe God is calling me to preach." And then it started bothering me. And then when I'd go to church, I was miserable. And if a preacher got up and said, "If God's called you to preach, answer the call." And I thought, "Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness." And I knew if I did this, I said, "Now if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I mean, there ain't going to be no turning back. I'm signing up for life. There ain't no discharge in that war. Once you're in, and you go it to the bitter end, brother, all the way. No turning back." So one Sunday morning, I had been saved 11 months. 11 months. My pastor got up here at Nebo Baptist Church and preached. My heart was going boom, 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 boom. I was 19 years old. I had never been to Bible college. I had never been to secular college for about a few months over at McDowell Tech. And I got a job at that time with an insurance company in Marion. And I was up there and I went to the altar that morning and I said, "All right, Lord, I'll do it." And I fell down and I said, "God, if you want me to preach, I'll try my best." And I got up and the preacher said, "You want to say something, Danny?" And I said, "Yes." And I stood in front of the church and I said, "Lord, call me to preach." Man, it felt like a million pounds was lifted off my chest. I said, "Hallelujah. Glory to God." Immediately I said, "I'm a preacher. What about that? I am a preacher." Some people think, "Well, don't you have to go to 4 years of college and then you become..." Nope. You are a preacher the second God calls you to preach. And education's good. Don't get me bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against it. It's not bad. Some of it. But I'm telling you, God made me into a preacher in a second. And I went home somebody done told mom and dad. Dad and my daddy, he was worried, really, is what he was. And he said, well, I don't know. If you're going to be one, be a good one. Like that. And he told mom, he's got enough of my mouth and your goodness to make a preacher. And he was right. He was that. I got my goodness from her and my mouth from him. And boy, God took it and used it. And you know what daddy done? Daddy went down there to that revival and give Joe Parson, the preacher, $100. Listen, brother, when my daddy from West Virginia, not even saved, goes and gives a preacher $100, something's going on. He ain't going to give no church nothing. He gave him $100. And I didn't even know it. And they said, Lawrence, why'd you do that? And he said, I'd rather give it to him as the judge. That's what he said. Because he knew I was going to get in trouble. Because we'd done got in trouble my senior year in high school with stuff that we wound up with a bunch of keys. And we had keys to the gyms, and we'd go in there and play ball at night. And we had keys to the principal's office where they had chocolate milk and Pepsi and stuff. And it was turned into a big mess. But I'll tell you about that some other time. Some smart kid with some bright idea knew a guy who coached softball team and had a set of keys to school and got his son while he slept and got a key, and we went and made copies of it so we could get in the gym and play ball. And we'd go. We used to break in the gym, going to Nebo Gym, and we'd come in on big high windows, and it was a mile down there to the floor, and had one of them ropes kids climbed on, and we'd go over and get on that rope and go down and get out. Now getting out of there was a different story. But anyway, we got in trouble for that and had to do a little community service down there below the school for a few days. And so Daddy gave that preacher $100. I could not believe it. And little by little, the preacher said, all right, Danny, you know what he done? He said, you're preaching next Sunday night. I said, next Sunday night? I got called to preach today. He said, I want you to preach next Sunday night. My pastor believed that as soon as you was called to preach, get with it, preach. While you was getting your training, while you was getting your education, he said, well, you don't know it all, preach what you do know. And so I studied, and I studied, and I studied, and I studied. I studied my head off. And the first sermon, I think, is Luke chapter 14, long in there, about the excuses. One had an excuse, another had an excuse. And it was awful. It was awful. I'm telling you, I thought I'd die before I got through. I was miserable. God, it's killing me. I'll never forget the first revival I preached. First revival I preached was over on the other side of Asheville, and the preacher said, we got this young man, I think I might have been 20 or maybe late, almost 20, and he said, we got this preacher and we want him to preach. And it almost killed me. I'm telling you, I thought I was going to die. I screamed, I hollered, I told him about Noah and the flood. I didn't know what I was talking about. And after 5 nights, I was ready to backslide. I said, I'm ready to throw my Bible down and quit and go sin. I said, I can't stay right with God. I'm about to die. And the preacher got up and said, man, this revival's went so good, we're going another week. And I went, oh no, 2 week revival. Honest to goodness, it's harder than it looks. I'm telling you, you ought to try. You got demons swarming around you like bees. It's awful. It's awful. And you wind up fussing and arguing and all kind of stuff happens. Something crazy. I've learned to expect it now. I expect opposition. I get worried if we don't have a fight over something. I mean, listen, I've learned to fight so long now, I wake up fighting. I'm like old Ruckman said, I get up and look in the mirror and say, all right, what are you up to today? Your flesh. You're going to get it from your flesh. But I tell you, I had my boss at the insurance company, I told him I was going to preach. And this after I'd been saved about preaching about 2 or 3 years. And I started preaching a lot after I'd been preaching about 3 years and was considering starting a church for a while there. And my boss was looking around us one day, and I was sitting there with my book at the desk, and he was this big smart aleck guy from down in Rutherford County somewhere, and he always smoked a pipe or cigars. It stunk awful. And he come through there like that and he said, you doing good on your work, son? I said, yeah, I reckon I'm doing pretty good. He said, you're going to make a career out of this, ain't you? And I said, nope. He said, why? And I said, I'm going to preach. I said, I'm going to pastor church 20 days, and I'm going to preach evangelism, and I'm going to preach. And he laughed at me and said, you a long way from that. That's what he said. Man, that hurt my feelings. That hurt my feelings. My boss laughed at me and said, you're a long way. But you know what? Thank God he did that. That done me more good. Cause, I mean, I've got a lot of guts. I'm little, but I'm full of guts. And if you tell me you ain't going to do something in me, said, bless God, we'll see about that. Amen. You ever had somebody you tell you can't do something? And I thought, okay, big boy, we'll see. And well, then in a couple of years, I was pastoring a church. He got in trouble for fraud and got in all kind of a mess. I'm not glad about that, but it was a mess. One of my other boss men got into a big mess for stealing money or something. And you know what? My husband and some friends over here in Morganton one night, you've heard that story, I won't go into it, over at Hardee's in Morganton. I was 19. I just got out of high school, so all the kids at school knew me. And you know that story. Me and some of my friends went over there to Hardee's in Morganton. We got down and we prayed. We said, Lord, let us witness somebody. Lord, let us witness somebody. Glory to God. I thought I'd come down here to Morganton because I was still sort of scared to face all my friends in Marion because I heard one of my buddies from a basketball team said, he won't last 2 weeks. And that hurt my feelings. They said I wouldn't last 2 weeks. And that hurt my feelings. The people you grow up with. And they said, he ain't going to stick with that stuff. And I told them that night, we was over there at you've heard me tell this story, so a condensed version is, we got over there, it used to be right in town in Hardee's, and we got down and prayed, and I said, Lord, send us somebody to witness to. And about that time, there's a bus, long as from here to the woods out there over here, trees, pulled in, and it said McDowell High School on the side of it. There come, and right behind about 30 cars right behind them, and every cheerleader, every football player, every my high school coaches, all them, they all got off and come in that Hardee's, and here was us standing there with our Bible. I mean, I just graduated the year before, people. I was green, brother. I mean, I was just a few months saved. And you know what? Them guys said, oh my goodness. The cheerleaders got around me like this right here. And they said, Danny, why don't you don't even go to the movies no more. You don't do this no more. And I was standing there with my Bible, and I said, look, y'all, this is the parting of the ways. I didn't know how to say it. I said, the Lord saved me, and I'm going the other way. Y'all can do whatever you want to. But I love you, and I would have seen it. And I'm telling you, God done something for me that night. I ain't never got over. I ain't never been scared of him since, neither. From then on, every time they'd see me, oh, Lord, there he is. He'll start preaching to us. And I'm telling you, some of them's done gone. Some of them's done gone. Some of them been rehabbed. Some of them, their lives in a mess. But God has taken good care of me. You know why? Because I love him. I put him first. The Lord took me as I followed the flock and said, go and speak to the words of that people. Listen, I'm not much. I'm not the best preacher in the world. I'm not the best anything in the world. I'm telling Shining Light Baptist Church this morning, I know God's put me here. I know God has called me to preach. And I know God don't make no mistakes. And God knows what He's doing. Somebody said this. They said, the perfect pastor has finally been found. After hundreds of years, that's right, the perfect pastor has been found. He preaches exactly 20 minutes and then sits down. He condemns sin but never hurts anyone's feelings. He works from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. in every type of work, from preaching to custodial services. He gives $100 a week to the church. He also stands ready to contribute to every other good work that comes along. He is 36 years old and has been preaching for 40 years. He is tall and short. He is thin, heavy set, and handsome. He has one brown eye and one blue. His hair is parted right down the middle. He has a burning desire to work with teenagers and spends all his time with the older folks. He smiles all the time with a straight face because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to his work. He visits 15 houses a day on church members, spends all his time evangelizing the lost, and is never out of his office. That's the perfect pastor right there. I ain't that's for sure. But I want to say a couple things here, and I'll be through. When I had a pastor, for 5 years before I started New Manna, when I was just turned 23. For For 5 years, I had a pastor. I have only been allowed to go to church and have a pastor for 5 years. I had no idea that it would hurt my pastor if I wasn't there. I had no idea. I thought I'd stay home and he'd never even notice it. I didn't know it hurt his feelings. And it discouraged him. I didn't know that. See, you think you're just lost in the crowd. It was packed in here Friday night. Going home, I thought, yeah, so-and-so wasn't there. So-and-so wasn't there. So-and-so wasn't there. I had no idea how it hurts. I had no idea how much he cared for us. Really, I didn't. It never even crossed my mind. He cares about us? He knows people everywhere. He's a pastor of the church. He don't even know me. I had no idea how much he cared. I had no idea how much of a burden he carried and the trouble he dealt with. I saw him on Sunday morning in a suit and a tie preaching. I thought, man, I love my pastor. Praise God for it. I had no idea that he'd go out and people would meet him in the office fussing about something. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Preach on this. Don't preach on that. He hurt my feelings. They done me wrong. You need to do something about this. I had no idea the burden, the complaints he listened to. And I wanted to be around him. I know I got saved because I didn't want to be around no preacher before I got saved. If you find yourself loving to go to church and wanting to be around a preacher and there's a God, that's a good sign. You got it, buddy. I'd heard people talk about him. Growing up, I had heard bad things about that preacher. I heard he was just after money. He's done gone home to be the Lord now. Pastor Al Hollifield, he had a hobby. A lot of preachers play golf on Monday. They try to get me to for years, and I ain't never played a game of golf, and don't try to get me to. I ain't ready for that yet. I'm going to run as long as I can. But anyway, he worked on cars. He'd buy an old car, and he'd be over sand in it, and he'd done it to just relieve his mind, and he worked on cars, and he'd sand them old cars down and get them painted and then sell them. And he might make $100 on something like that. And people went and said, oh, he's just after money, selling them cars, making all that money. And you know what? That put a bad thought in my head about that preacher. That's why you better be careful what you say about preacher. Because some kids are listening. I heard adults say that when I was growing up. And I thought, man, he's a crook. You can ruin a child's faith in the preacher by saying junk like that. There wasn't nothing wrong with him doing it. I mean, at least he's doing something productive, working on cars instead of playing golf. And there wouldn't have been nothing wrong if he wanted to play golf either. Lord Jesus, you'd rather hit that ball than hit one of your church members with a club. Gotta take it out on something. I want to say three things here and I'm through. Call to the ministry originates with God, number one. God calls you to the ministry. Number two, a man accepts the call to the ministry. A guy asked me one time, he said, do you write your sermons? I said, are you kidding? I can't imagine writing one of my... Wouldn't that be awful if I got up here and read every word? Listen, y'all don't know it, but a lot of what I say comes from somewhere. Left field, they say it. I hope the Lord's given it. I ain't claiming He's given me everything I say. But a lot of times, I get up here and I think, whoa, where'd that come from? And you got to leave the door open for the Holy Ghost to work through you. I have an outline most of the time. You have like number one, number two, like I'm reading you. But you never know what kind of rabbit trail. I've heard preachers get off on the rabbit trail and do a whole lot better than it was when they was trying to preach a sermon they planned on. Amen? And then some take a text and take a fit. And some take say, I'm going to preach from this scripture. And they do. They preach from it. And don't ever get to it. I don't write my sermons. Number three, God makes, molds us, and uses us as He chooses. You know D.L. Moody was never ordained? They said he robbed hell of 1 million souls. Never. Ordained. They wouldn't ordain him when he first started because he didn't have no education. They said he murdered the King's English, or he ruined the king because he didn't speak properly. And they said, you can't preach here. We ain't going to ordain you. Then we started having tens of thousands of people saved and won more souls to God than that whole crowd put together. They come to him and they said, Mr. Moody, we'd like to ordain. He said, well, I've done without y'all this long. I believe I'll be all right the rest of the way. Never did get ordained. And they said he robbed hell of 1 million souls. God sometimes calls the most unlikely people to do His work. And I'm going to say this and I'm through. I don't want to say what I'm getting ready to say because some people, you know, look at it as prophet of gloom and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to say this morning. I'm not trying to sound dramatic. God knows I hope and pray I'm wrong. The day we're living in, the day may well come when we pay for what we believe with our own lives and in our own blood. I'm not trying to make y'all think, oh my goodness, ISIS is coming in the back door. No, I'm not. May God help us and deliver us, and I hope it never happens here. But the possibility is there that one day I'll have to give my life for what I believe. And you might too. The day may come when we may face prison or jail or lose our tax-exempt status. The day may come when they may outlaw a lot of what... They're trying right now to outlaw some of what we believe, which is against the law. I'm going to tell you something, people. We better make our call and election sure. You better be saved and know it. You better know you're right with God. You know what a martyr is? A martyr is somebody who seals their testimony with their own blood, willingly. People like JFK and Martin Luther King, they weren't martyrs. They got murdered. Somebody just sniper just shot. A martyr is somebody who says, you going to deny the Lord? No. Okay. You going to deny Him? No. Burn Him. Willingly gives their life for what they believe. And that may come. That may come. I hope you're ready. I hope you're facing God this morning. We're just finishing up camp meeting. Maybe you're here this morning and you ain't got right yet. This little talk that I gave you this morning maybe is a help to you. Maybe God's calling you to preach, young man. Maybe there's a young man in here God's put His hand on. If He has, all I can say is get with it. I ain't going to talk you into it and I ain't going to talk you out of it. It's between you and God. Let's obey the Lord this morning. Let's stand just for a minute, please. Or come and get us a song. Every head's bowed and every eye closed. We'll meet back tonight at 6 and you'll have preaching. You don't want to miss tonight's service. Let's pray. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Danny, I need my faith strengthened. I want to be a better church member. While Brother Jason sings a song, I'm going to rededicate my life to ask God to help me be a better pastor. I know I ain't much one. I want to be a better one, though. I want to be. Maybe you're here this morning. You want to be a better member. You come on right now. Come on. Some's already coming. Come on. Others. Come on right now. Father, do what ought to be done right now. Help us, oh God, we pray. Help me to be the man You'd have me to be, Lord. I can't do it by myself. God, give me grace. Give me guts. Give me faith. Give me power. Give me strength. I ain't got it myself, Lord. Help me, God. Help our people here. Help Shining Light Baptist Church as we go on into the fall and the winter and the new year. God, to stand true and tall, firm for the glory of God. Not give in, not give up. We'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Let's sing. Come on. Come on. You need to come this morning. Maybe you're here and you don't even know you're saved. Be a good time to come. Amen. Come on. Come on right now. Come on.
Try me. Oh, Savior.
That's right.
Know my thoughts, I pray.
Pray now.
See if there be.
You obey the Lord right now.
Some wicked way in me.
Amen.
Cleanse me from every sin and set me
lot of folks praying up here now. I've been asked two or three times and haven't done it, but this would be a good day to do it. We're going to open the doors of church this morning. If you've been saved, you've been baptized, you're living right, you want to come join the church, I'm going to ask you to just come on up here right now and stand right down here at the front. Several have asked me about it, so if you're ready, come on right now. Amen. 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 Come on, Brother Wayne. Amen. I'm glad the Lord sent us some rich people. Amen. Robbie, Mark, praise God, hallelujah. Angie, Mr. and Ms. Harris, come on. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Now, you know you got to leave every Friday morning to get here. Isn't that a blessing? Y'all turn around and face the congregation. You can be seated. Y'all can be seated. I had no idea we had this many wanting to join the church. Mark, Kathy, amen. I'm going to get to vote on you, especially you. And you, that little one right there. Amen. What a blessing. Anybody else? Anybody else? It's $1,000 to join, $500 a month thereafter. I'm just kidding. Amen. You're saved, you're right with God, you qualify for a member of the church. Come on, Deanna. We found her on the bus route just a few weeks ago, and she used to ride the bus here when she was just a little girl. I was walking across the parking lot. Somebody said, "Brother Danny," and it was her. And she's been coming like clockwork ever since. Isn't that a blessing? That's the Lord. That's that bus ministry, y'all. Amen. And Richard, that's your name, right? Amen. Y'all, God bless Brother Richard. He's been coming, and he helped us with our floor. He's a floor man. Amen. Amen. Now, is Donald Trump here this morning? I believe I could see him if he was. Amen. He'd have a jet sitting out in the parking lot. His hair, man, I'm telling you, if you want to be the president, can you not do something to your hair? Ain't he got a PR person or something say, "Man, have you looked in the back of you?" See, it goes whoa, and it sticks way out like somebody just mashed it down in the back. Look, if you're smart enough to be the president, looks better than Hillary's. But, just kidding. But anyway, where you at? You Kim, you ready? Amen. All right, we'll start over here. Miss Deanna, someone make the motion. She's a member of the church. Second, all in favor, let me know. Myself, lift your hand, say amen. All right, Brother Richard, what is your last name, Brother Richard? Robinson, Richard Robinson. That sounds like a famous person. He's a famous man. Smokey Robinson? You wish, huh? Yeah. Amen. All right, somebody will make the motion. Second, all in favor, let me know. When uplifted hands, say amen. We'll take Mr. and Miss Harris together. Isn't that a blessing? You got to leave on Friday morning now. Be here for church so you won't be late. Nah, there's nothing wrong with that. They can join and live in New Mexico. And they watch every service. They got hymn books. Now they sing with us and everything. Isn't that a blessing? They've been sending us a check every month to support the bus ministry. Isn't that a blessing? Someone make the motion. Second, all in favor, let me know. Lift up his hand, say amen. Brother Wayne might have a problem right here. Now we love Brother Wayne. Someone make the motion. Second, all in favor, let me know. Uplift his hand, amen. See all these people that ain't raising their hand? It's because they're not members or they don't like you. Amen. No, I love Brother Wayne. It's been a lifelong dream of his for the last few years, and ours too, that he could come and got him a place down here at exit 111. Y'all ought to see where he lives out there. Beautiful little place. Bumblebee. He's going to invite all of us over tonight after church and feed us. Amen. Robbie and his little girl there. How in the world he got such a pretty little girl? What's her name?
Bailey.
That's right. Appreciate him and Bailey. Thank God, Brother Robbie. God's done a work in this old boy's life. Amen. Someone make the motion. Second. All in favor, let me know. Uplift your hand. All right. Mark and Kathy. Amen. Praise God for Brother Mark. They've been a real blessing here, y'all. They've been a blessing. I've knew Kathy since she was a young teenager. And then she brought Mark and Haley here. So we'll just take all three of them. Amen. Got your money? Need my money. I'm just kidding with her. All right. Someone make the motion. All in favor, let me know. Uplift your hand. Say amen. Amen. Miss Angie, amen. Thank God for her. She does work here too, y'all. She came up here and scrubbed the walls last week before the camp meeting back there so they'd look better. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Someone make the motion. Second. All in favor, let me know and uplift your hand. Hallelujah. Got his name, brother. He's my buddy.
Butch.
Butch, yeah. Butch. That's a good name. That fits him, don't it? Amen. He's ready in case anybody wants to say anything. He's ready. Amen. Thank God, Brother Butch. Amen. Amen. Appreciate him. Someone make the motion. Second. All in favor, let me know and uplift your hand. Say amen. Amen. Wheezy. What a blessing. Thank God for what he's done in this. Louise is his real name. Rodriguez. And he's from Spruce Pine. Rodriguez ain't from Spruce Pine. Where are you from?
California.
Isn't that something? Is that something? Hallelujah. Thank God for him. Someone make the motion. Second. I'll let it be known enough with hands. Say amen. All right. Now, how many is that? Somebody count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Is there another in the house? Is there another? That's a bad number to quit on. Yeah. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You're still on it. You're probably still on there. We never did kick y'all out before you was gone. We might have. I don't know. But hey, look and see, Kim. You don't just stop. We got another one. Here she comes, number 14. Come on, sister. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on down. Shelly Rimmel. Did they push you up there? Anyway, thank God for Miss Shelly. She's been helping work in Sunday school. My goodness, you ought to join the church. Amen. Appreciate Shelly. She's a good girl. She loves the Lord. She loves the Lord. Amen. Amen. All you rich young men, quit fighting over who gets to talk to her. She loves the Lord. She'll slap you. Yeah, amen. Amen. This girl loves Jesus. Amen. How old are you, Shelly? 21. Amen. Stand the Lord. Comes to church all the time. Loves Jesus. Somebody want to make the motion? Second. All in favor, let me know and uplift the hand. All right, that's 14. Amen. That's some good gossip. Put all that on Nosebook. All y'all that put stuff on Nosebook, you know what I'm saying? Praise God. Wonderful camp meeting. Hallelujah time. 14 joined the church this morning. Amen. All right. We're gonna get you out of here. We'll meet back at 6. We'll have good preaching tonight, singing. You don't want to miss it. We got singing from Florida coming tonight. So don't miss the service tonight. Let's all stand.